I mean, a couple of weeks ago I began sharing on the subject of fullness. And you'll see as you come in on a Sunday morning that part of the PowerPoint talks about the blessing of Eden and the fullness of the blessing. You know, 2 weeks back when we were looking at the fullness, we said that God's perfect plan, could we see that? To show us that that was God's plan for His creation. And I want to share this morning just a few thoughts again around the plan of God, found in Jeremiah 29. And there's about 5 verses I want to read in Jeremiah 29, commencing at verse 10 and finishing at verse 14. But just before we read these, I want you to remember that Adam and Eve, because of their disobedience to God, I don't know whether this is quite the right word, because they weren't, nobody came in and took them out, but you know what? What I've put down in my notes this morning is that Adam and Eve were exiled from the garden. As I said, that's probably not quite the right word, because they weren't taken into captivity, but they were in captivity. You know, they surrendered their freedom. They surrendered their what they had, their blessing, through sin and disobedience. You know, God drove them out of the garden and made no way back for them. And you'll find in the end of Genesis 3 that it says that God set cherubim at the and seraphim at the entrance of the garden with a flaming sword to prevent them from coming back. Well, here in Jeremiah 29, we read a prophecy concerning God's people, that they would go into captivity, they'd go into exile, that the Babylonian nation would come in and ransack their own nation and take many of them away. And we know that's what happened. And you know that Nehemiah was one of those that first came back in and from captivity began to rebuild Jerusalem. But here it says in the scriptures in verse 10, it says, "Thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed of Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I called you to be carried away captive." Amen. You know, there God's promising his people that yes, they're going to go into captivity because of their disobedience to him and because of other things that went on in their lives, that they neglected the worship of God, they went after other gods, and you know, God allowed the enemy to come in and take them out. But God had a promise here in this thing. He says, look, he says, even though that's going to happen, he says, I'm going to visit you and I'm going to bring you back to where you should be. Bring you back into the place where you should be, the place of blessing, the place that I've always purposed and intended to bring you into. We know that's to be the case because God always promised his people to bring them into something better. They were in Egypt and he brought them out into the promised land. A land of promise. A land of blessing. delivered us from that place of blessing, that land of promise that they were taken. And it was to that land of promise, that land of blessing, that God said he would bring them back. And that was God's plan, to bring his people out of captivity and to cause his people to return to the place of blessing. Look what he says here. He says, this is verse 10, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you. It's a good word. It's a good word of promise that God will cause us to return. Now we may have been in a place of captivity, not physically perhaps, but certainly sin keeps us captive. You know, sin keeps us bound. And Jesus came to set the captive free. He came to bring the captive back to the place of his blessing. You know, sin shall no longer have dominion over us. You know, it's a good word for us, that God will cause us to return from our captivity. Maybe we've been held captive to other things going on in our life, circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in. Well, God's purpose is to bring us out of captivity. You know, there's... If we get a problem in our bodies and we get sick, you know, we don't want to stay sick. You know, God wants to bring us out of that captivity. I don't think you'll find anybody, well, you might find a few crazy people, but I don't think you'll find anybody that really wants to be sick. If they did, then our hospitals and our doctors say it'll be empty. You know, when people get sick, they want to get well. You know, they do anything they can to recover and get better. You know, that's a hunger that has been placed in us by God to come out of captivity. You know, God puts that hunger inside, you know, that yearning for freedom, that yearning to be delivered, that yearning to be free. He wants to bring us out of captivity. I don't think you'll find any person in Wisbeach today that will say they really enjoy living life with threats of unemployment, or threats of losing their home, or threats of not being able to feed the children and look up, you know, threats of not having enough. Nobody wants to live like that. You know, there's always that desire for more, you know, that hunger for coming out of captivity to poverty. You know, there's no one that wants to live in captivity. God's plan is to bring his people out, to cause his people to return to a place of blessing. Listen, this is what his plan is. This is what he says. He says, look, he says, I've got thoughts that I think towards you. Verse 11, says the Lord. That's a good thought to start with, that God is thinking thoughts towards us. His thoughts are upon us. And his thoughts are this, thoughts of peace, thoughts of goodness. He says, he's not going to do us evil, so if he's not going to do us evil, he's going to do us good. Thoughts that will give us a future and a hope. They are the thoughts that God's thinking towards us. If you will permit me to just read that verse to you in the New International Version. It says this, and a well often quoted scripture on this translation on this verse. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know, God has a plan for us. A plan to bring us out of captivity. A plan of goodness. Or as this scripture here says, it's a plan of peace. Now, I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was a few days back. There was something on the TV. I was watching, there was a documentary. I was talking with an Israeli or a Hebrew man. It was something to do with the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and about Israel taking ownership of their land. And part of what he said in this documentary was this. This is a Hebrew man. Now whether he's an Orthodox Jew, I don't know. Whether he's just another man that's just sort of in the media spotlight. But he said this. He says, we have in our language the word shalom, which is their greeting. He says, we have the word shalom. The shalom, he says. He didn't use the word peace, which is what it's always translated as. He says the word, he talked about it as completeness. He said, shalom is completeness. And I thought, to the Lord, oh, wow, in the world. This is a man, not necessarily a, we began looking at a few weeks ago. You know, God's thoughts towards us are thoughts of completeness and wholeness. Thoughts to bring us into the fullness of His blessing. But this scripture goes on. It says to give us a future and a hope. You know that a lot of people get a little bit scared when we talk about prosperity. You know, the scripture says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You know, I want to tell you the meanings of there's two words in the Bible which are most often translated as prosper. You know, one of them is shalom. It's translated as prosperity, but there's a word in the New Testament, I don't know whether I should get the pronunciation right, but it's something like euoduo. And it means to help on one's way. Then there's that's a Greek word. In the Old Testament there's a Hebrew word called salak, which means to advance or push forward. And that's really what prosperity is. It's not necessarily about money. That's what we always bring it down to, because we're so materially minded. You know, we make a big thing about money. You know, we're trying to hold down 2-3 jobs to keep the money coming in. We've got a big thing about money. Whenever we talk about prosperity, we think of money, because it's number one in our thinking. We've got to earn this, we've got to pay the mortgage, we've got to pay the rent, we've got to buy food, we've got to pay the bill. It's number one. It's our number one thought. And that's how we immediately take it. But to God, prosperity is, you know, money is the least part of prosperity. Because the Bible tells us God's viewpoint on that wealth, nothing. It's just, He lays the streets with it. He paves the streets with it. What we think of as valuable and so worthwhile grabbing hold of, God considers just as pavement. Prosperity, real prosperity is this. And here's a definition I put together based on the two meanings of those two words. It is help given to advance or push someone forward on their way. Help given to advance or push someone forward on their way. You know, the sick soul that prospers gets well. You know, it's help given to get them moving, to push them on, to cause them to advance in their life. And prosperity isn't just about money, that's just one aspect of it. It's about our whole life. And that's what the word shalom encompasses. The whole life, the whole man, the total welfare of man. The wholeness, the completeness, the fullness. You know, God's thoughts and God's plans towards us are plans of completeness and wholeness. And that's really where the blessing, what we call calling the, I'm calling the blessing of Eden, but I've not got that. It's not my own phrase. You know, this blessing of Eden is to do with our whole life. You know, God wants us to come back into that place that He's blessed. Yes, it's God's plan for us, but we've got to be serious about it. And that's what He goes on to say in verses 11 and 12, sorry, 12 and 13. He says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We've got to get serious about God. We've got to seek Him with all our heart. You know, the blessing isn't just going to turn off in your life. You're just, or I'm going to benefit from it. The Bible says it's God's will that every man on this planet we live is saved. Now, that doesn't relinquish us from our responsibility of going into the world and preaching the gospel just because God says, well, it's His will that they're going to be saved. And some people think, well, if it's God's will, then it's automatically going to happen. No, it doesn't. There's things that we need to get serious with God. So if we're expecting God to save the world, we've got to be serious enough to show God that we mean business and go out and try and win them. You know, and if we're serious with God about His blessing for us, we've got to show God that we mean business with Him. He says, you've got to seek me. He says, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If you've lost something, you know, I've lost something at home. And I've had a quick scout around where I last saw it, in the bedroom. It's not a life or death thing, you know, it's not something that causes me to lose any sleep because I've lost it. But all it is, it's a cap that fits on a USB stick. So it's nothing serious, you know, it's not going to end my life because I haven't got it. But I've been searching for this, well, I did search for this little cap. And I couldn't find it, so I gave up. And that's what we mustn't be like when it comes to the things of God. You know, we've got to search. That means we might have to strip things out of the room in order to find things. You know, if we've ever lost anything, you know when you begin to search, and you search, you know, you put your whole effort into it. You soon find, unless it's sort of been thrown out or anything like that, but if you know it's in the house somewhere and you search and you hunt and you search with all diligence, and you will find what you're looking for. And that's really what God is saying. He said, if you just look and just, as it seems to happen sometimes, if you stand in the room, just have a quick glance and say, oh no, I can't see it in here. No, it's not in that room because I can't. No, have you moved the boxes? Have you got underneath the chairs? Have you looked under the bed? You're not going to see it just by taking a glance, and you're not going to meet with God just by taking a quick glance. We've got to search for Him with all our heart. We've got to be Timothy, or Paul writes to Timothy. He tells him to study God's word, study so that he might show his diligence. That he might, or told Peter, actually tells him to be diligent in the New King James. You know, be diligent that you might show yourself approved unto God. You know, the King James translates that as study to show yourself approved. You know, be diligent. You know, put all your effort into seeking God. All your effort. into your prayer time, all your effort into your devotional time, all your effort into your worship. Search for him with all your heart. Then he says, I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. Yes, we're going to come back from our captivity. We're going to come back from the places where we're held captive and bondage. We've got to let God know that we mean business. That we're not satisfied where we are. That we want to come back. One of the modern translations puts it like this. This is the message. And just listen to these words. I like these words. As soon as I read them. Well, I've obviously read them before, and it's not registered, but as I looked at it yesterday, it says this, it says, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. This is verse 13. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me, and want it more than anything else, then verse 14 goes on and says, I'll make sure that you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. You can count on it. When you seek God with all your heart, you're serious about finding God. Notice what God says. He says, seek me. And that's where a lot of us make our mistake, don't we? We seek the thing we're looking for. We seek the blessing. We seek perhaps the answer to our prayer. Well, God says, when you seek me. What does Jesus say in the Gospels? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. He didn't say seek first the money to pay the electric bill or the rent or the healing touch for your leg or your foot. He says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first me. Put me first. Search for me with all your heart. And then he will bring us back from our captivity. You know, when the people were captive in Zion, in Babylon, you know, they realized the error of their ways. You know, in the scriptures, I just want to read it to you. You know, this is in the Psalms, Psalm 137. It says, it starts off this psalm, it says, by the rivers of Babylon. They're in Babylon, they've been taken captive. They're in a foreign land, a strange land, by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. You know, we realized where we'd gone wrong. We wept. We hung our harps up upon the willows. And there were those who carried us away captive. They asked of us a song, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You know, by the rivers of Babylon, you know, they wept. They remembered Zion. They remembered their homeland. They remembered the blessing. They remembered where they'd come from. They remembered their disobedience, for want of a better word. You know, their neglect of God, neglect of his laws. Neglect of keeping the feasts. At that time, that's one of the things they neglected to do. They neglected the Passover. They neglected coming together to worship God. And that was one of the first things that was restored when they came back. Worship. Worshiping the house of God. You know, just look at the book of Nehemiah and you'll see that to be the case. You know, Nehemiah came, he came and he built the walls of Jerusalem. He established the city. The first thing they did, Ezra the priest, got out the book of the law, began to read. You know, he read the book of the law and then they reinstated the worship as it should be. When you come looking for me, you will find me. When you get serious about finding me, I want it more than anything else. God says, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. You can count on it. Yes, the Eden blessing is God's plan for us. But we've got to be serious about God. If we want to experience the fullness of the blessing, we've got to be serious about the things of God. Serious about God himself. You know, that was one of the first, actually it was one of the last things it's one of the last things in the list that I've put in the bulletin this month. And it was this, it's fellowship with God. In Genesis 3, God came into the garden and he fellowshiped with Adam and Eve. And one of the things they enjoyed, part of the blessing, was that fellowship. And that's one of the first things that needs to be restored. Fellowship with God, getting serious with God, serving God with all our heart, with all our soul. Well, we've sung it, haven't we? My life is in you. My strength is in you. My hope is in you. In you, Lord. You know, when we get to that place where we say, yes, God, you are my life. You're all that I am, all that I ever need. Then God knows. He knows our hearts then. And he can start pouring out the fullness of his blessing into our situations. Yes, it's God's plan for you, but let's get serious about God in these days. Now we're living in times where we haven't got time to mess about with God. You know, as you know, whenever the preacher points the finger, you know, there's three pointing back. You know, we haven't got time in these days to mess about with God, to play around with church. We've got to be serious about God. We need to seek him and search for him. And when we found him, to almost, I don't want to be irreverent, but almost like to have to grab onto him so that we don't let him go. Because our future depends on it. You know, God's got a plan for us. There's a plan to give us a future. And that future involves him. He's the centre of our future. That's why we need him. That's why we need to search for him and seek after him. So let's do it with all diligence, with all our heart, so that God can bless us. Amen. Thank you, Lord.